United States of America, known as Land of the Free, Home of the Brave, has come to symbolize freedom throughout the world. People from all nations and from all walks of life have called the United States home. The United States has welcomed them with open arms. Indeed, the famed Statue of Liberty is the embodiment of this dream. In New York's public education system alone, its student body represents 145 countries. The United States has a deep affinity with Supreme Master Ching Hai. With her boundless love and compassion, Supreme Master Ching Hai has provided humanitarian assistance to many parts of the United States. In 1993, she sent relief teams to provide financial and material assistance to the victims of the six Midwestern states that were severely affected by heavy rain and flooding. On December 27, 1997, at the benefit concert A Journey Through Aesthetic Realms, Supreme Master Ching Hai generously contributed $100,000 each to the Vietnam Children's Fund and the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. The following year, at another benefit concert, One World of Peace, through music, she once more contributed generously, with two charity organizations being the recipients of her love. St. Jude Children's Research Hospital received $150,000 and the Starlight Children's Foundation received a check for $100,000. Additionally, in the face of one of the worst human tragedies ever to occur on U.S. soil, on September 11, 2001, Supreme Master Ching Hai responded immediately, sending relief teams from around the country and all over the world to Ground Zero in New York City. Supreme Master Ching Hai's financial contributions amounted to over $300,000 to organizations aiding the victims. To this day, Supreme Master Ching Hai continues to extend her loving compassion to all parts of the U.S. From Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, and Alabama to California, Florida, Texas, Hawaii, and other states. We now invite you to listen to the following lecture by Supreme Master Ching Hai entitled, Recognize Your Own God Nature, given on June 2, 1998 in Irvine, California, USA.
Supreme Master Ching Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
Hi, everyone. One of Suma Ching Hai's most famous books is entitled, I Have Come to Take You Home. For me, that title couldn't be more appropriate. It's not that I came from a troubled life. My parents, two established scientists in China, love me very much. So does my only sister. I myself attended some of the most prestigious schools, and I always have a wide circle of friends. Seems like I have a happy life, right? But something was still missing. Deep down, I felt I didn't belong to this world. People call me misconfused. So I embarked on a journey to find truth, happiness, and who I really am. First, I tried science. I pursued a PhD in biology and studied physics, hoping to find the origin of all things through evolution, quantum mechanics, and the Big Bang theory, whatever. Next, I tried philosophy, psychology, anthropology, history, and literature, you name it. When these attempts failed, I turned to religion and spiritual practice, Christianity, Buddhism, Taoism, transcendental meditation, yoga, even Chinese Qigong. Each practice offered a degree of truth, but not the ultimate knowledge. So I was still wondering, struggling with my identity and the meaning of this human life. Depression took over. I resorted to smoking and even thought of suicide. It would take so much in height to put me on the path toward home. It all started with a phone call back in 1993 in Indiana. An acquaintance who I met only once called me from Chicago. Out of the blue, he mentioned Su Ma Qinghai. Her name in Chinese means the ocean of tranquility. What a coincidence. 8 years earlier, I dreamed of jumping into a pure ocean full of love and serenity. Dazzling blue, but not any shade that you can imagine in this world. The setting was indescribable, but I experienced nirvana. For the first time ever, that dream made me feel at home. But Su Ma Qinghai is not just a dream. She's a living, breathing being. Still, I remain doubtful. You know how human mind works. The morning after the phone call, upon opening my eyes, I saw the words, "The Living Buddha," hovering above my forehead. They stayed there for the whole day. My doubts were beginning to fade. They would disappear altogether when I met Master Qinghai in that wonderful April of 1993 at Georgetown University in Washington, D.C. By then, I had already asked my newfound friend over phone thousands of questions about this living Buddha and her teachings. When I heard her lecture that day, everything became crystal clear. I asked myself, why did I go through my lifelong search when the answers are so simple, just like that? Everything about Su Ma Qinghai moved me. Her compassion, her confidence, her simplicity, her wisdom, and her humor. I got initiation the same night, during which I experienced the divine light and the heavenly sound, as described in old scripts since ancient time. The occasion was so overwhelming, overflowing with bliss and beauty, that I did not even realize until the next day that I had finally come home. My dear friends, I have grown ever more in the past 5 years. Each day increases my appreciation for Master's teachings. I'm more convinced than ever of her boundless power to bring lost souls back to their eternal home. I hope the story of my lifelong journey shows you that when a student is ready, the teacher will appear. I'm very honored to be with all of you, because tonight you will reach the end of your journey, and this is a chance in a million lifetime. Thank you.
We'd like to continue our program with Qiu Fan. He'll talk a little bit about the Kuan Yin meditation. Let's welcome him.
A young man in New York City, disowned by his parents and resentful towards his Catholic upbringing, finds reconciliation on both fronts through Kuan Yin meditation. Across the Atlantic Ocean, a disillusioned wife gives up on her marriage. In front of the courthouse where she files her divorce papers, she receives a copy of the book, The Key to Immediate Enlightenment. Within its pages, she finds words of love that become the balm of healing for her relationship. And right at home in Southern California, a Hindu couple discovers Suma Qinghai. In her, they see the concrete embodiment of ancient teachings espoused by all world religions. Dear friends, the truest test of a spiritual path lies in its ability to transform a person for the better. So, has Kuan Yin meditation improved practitioners' everyday lives? Has it maximized their kindness, compassion, and integrity? Has their awakening of the soul translated into daily conduct? In other words, how practical is enlightenment? Being a newspaper journalist, I decided to take my questions to three Kuan Yin followers. From their brief testimonies, you'll see that enlightenment blossoms inside and out. Metamorphosis number one, healing the wounds. Peter Stansky thought he knew everything about himself. He thought his parents were evil. After all, didn't they disown him at the tender age of 22? Peter Stansky was so sure of life, or so he thought. In the summer of 1996, he entered college. A classmate lent him a videotape of a lecture by Suma Qinghai. One thing led to another, culminating in initiation 5 months later. Suddenly, the world wasn't so black and white anymore. Peter finally admitted that he was the cause of his own problems. His repeated refusal to seek narcotics rehabilitation led his parents to disown him. Peter, the 20th century prodigal son, returned home February 8, 1997. He had finished a 60-day rehabilitation clinic. His parents, having witnessed the healing power of Kuan Yin meditation, are now practicing the convenient method. One other note. These days, Peter has resumed attendance at weekly mass. The 26-year-old completed a catechism course. He also read the entire Bible. How did Peter, who was so sure that he didn't need God, come to embrace spirituality again? He says, Suma Qinghai puts a genuine face on religion. She spurs me to think critically, reform myself, and examine my faults first before blaming others. In order to heal the world, I had to heal myself first. Metamorphosis number two, a book of love. Some things don't happen by mere chance, says Simone Mouchard. Her statement dates back to 1994 when she received a copy of The Key to Immediate Enlightenment. Simone, a resident of Bordeaux, France, met a Kuan Yin adherent on the steps of a courthouse. She had just filed her divorce papers. The 32-year-old and her Algerian husband, Mustafa, had called it quits after 7 years of matrimony. The love definitely existed, she says, but it was covered by layers of misunderstanding. We weren't honest with ourselves, much less with other people. Simone doesn't remember why she accepted the Enlightenment booklet, but she read it 4 times. She sent away for more books and tapes, she became a vegetarian, and the culmination, she got initiated in early 1996. Kuan Yin meditation has been the biggest blessing in my life, she says during a phone interview. It puts me in touch with my feelings. It infuses me with patience and serenity. Communication is no longer a problem. The end result is that Mustafa and Simone remain husband and wife. The spouses renewed their marriage vows last spring, their 10th anniversary. Differences still arise, but they are now aired immediately and in a civil manner. Simone and Mustafa are studying to become marriage counselors. They hope to open the lines of loving communication for others, just as Suma Qinghai did for them. Metamorphosis number three, modern woman, timeless message. The Bible says humans are created in the image of God. Siddhartha Gautama observed that everyone possesses Buddha nature. Hinduism describes every person's soul, or the Atman, as divinely connected to the universal Brahman. The Quran, Islam's holiest book, declares humanity to be brothers and sisters equal in their pilgrimage back to eternal paradise. Whether Eastern philosophy or Western theology, all religions try to awaken people to their glorious inner nature. Dalal and Lilal Patel understand this singular message well. For more than 50 years in India, they lived among a smorgasbord of religions. The Patels reminisce this way. Everybody got along since our religions espoused a shared edict of love, reverence for all forms of life, peace, honesty, humility, and generosity. Then the Patels moved to San Bernardino in 1990. The new area of spiritual fragmentation disappointed them. They yearned for a voice of unity, an enlightened beacon that would shed light on religious commonality. Suma Qinghai answered their prayers. Here's a woman whose teachings synthesized diverse spiritual traditions seamlessly. The Patels especially liked her humorous, concise, and down-to-earth approach to enlightenment. Lila says, Master is refreshingly human. She's not afraid to laugh or cry. It's great to have a female teacher, by the way. This reminds us that God transcends gender, race, age, or any other man-made category. But above all, the Patels thank Kuan Yin meditation for elevating their reverence toward everyday aspects of living. They're now able to discern the sacred among the ordinary. Enlightenment isn't confined to churches, temples, synagogues, mosques, or wadas. The dialogue concludes, God lives within you and within everything else. My dear friends, the preceding testimonials constitute only the crust of what Suma Qinghai has given us through the gift of Kuan Yin meditation. The gift is a balance of inner tranquility and outer virtue. It is a dynamic duo of faith complemented by good conduct. Master has humbly observed that, as an enlightened teacher, her role is to guide others. We thank all of you for coming tonight. Please join me in giving a warm welcome to Suma Qinghai.
I thank you for coming. Now we have to begin somewhere. And our life begins a long time ago, or perhaps it has just begun. And we have forgotten where we have truly come from. And that's the only question that we could not answer. For most of us, for many of us, everything else, we are clever enough to know. We can learn through books. We can experiment in the laboratory. We can use chemical substance or scientific knowledge to solve, to give an answer. But the only answer that's most puzzling is, where have we come from? And it's another equally puzzling is, where will we go after this? Obviously, too many of us, life doesn't end in a coffin. We do know that, but we just could not prove. Too many of the wise saints since the ancient times, this question is very simple. They do know where they came from, and they do know where they will go. And for them, the question of death doesn't have any appeal or any frightening effect, because like the saints in the Bible said, I die daily. And what does it mean by dying daily? When we withdraw ourselves inward to enter the kingdom of God, that's when we die. We die temporarily. And then we come back to life again. So resurrection can happen anytime during our ordinary life if we follow the process of Jesus, of the ancient saints. And since we die once, or we die daily, we do know there are other life, there are other world, except this physical one. And then we are free to roam around in the universe. We explore the mystery of the cosmos. And then we know that dying is no big deal. And in fact, we know we don't ever die. And then we also know we don't even have a physical body, so strange as it may seem. It is the fact. And that's why when Jesus was nailed on the cross, he was not afraid. He was not crying. He wasn't begging for his life. He wasn't running away. He could have done, but he didn't want to. He didn't have to. He surrendered everything to God's will because he knew where he's going. He knew all the time. He knew that there is no such thing as death or suffering. True suffering is when we do not know where we came from and where we will go. Because Jesus knew already, so he gave up the quest for physical comfort. He gave up the fear of death, and he goes because he knows he's always there anyhow, and that only the physical body decay in the mortal eyes. But in Jesus' wisdom, there's no such thing even as a physical body. This is very difficult to prove unless we follow the same path as the great master has gone through. Like Buddha, Jesus, they have gone the same path, therefore they have preached the same thing. Even though we label it Buddhism, Christianity, and we make so many terminologies, separate the truth into two different categories and confusing us. But actually, the masters always teach the same thing. Basically the same thing. That is, if we cut off the ribbons and the wrap papers and the different way of the master individual talent, eloquence of speech, then it is the same. And especially after we have become enlightened, or we have followed the same path, and we practice the same thing, then we know it is exactly the same, because they both go the same way. Suppose all of us came here to this auditorium and sit here for a while, and afterward we came out. Then we all describe the same room. There's no difference. What is it about enlightenment that so many people make a great mystery about and pray so much and encourage us so much to go forward to claim it again? It is not enlightenment at all. It is just the truth. It is just the way it should be. It is just the way we should be. It's the way it is. And if we don't know enlightenment, then we continue suffering so much until we realize that everything else is not important except to know God. And when we begin to want to know God, then God will send someone, a friend, a guide, an experienced brother, to show us what to do. And after we know what to do, that's when we are enlightened. We might not be enlightened as greatly as Buddha or Jesus, but we are enlightened somewhat. And then, day by day, we continue with the process, and then we become just as great. And then we will understand what Jesus said to us, like, whatever I do, you can do better, or you can do as good. And I and my Father are one. And we will understand that we are all children of God. And we will understand that we are the temple of God. And only the Holy Spirit lives within us. And if God lives within us, then what are we? We are God. Well, if this is only the house and God lives inside, then who else is there? Could it be that I and God live in the same house? Huh? He doesn't say, I and God live in there. He says, I and my Father are one. If I and my Father are one, how come we don't know Him? If the Holy Spirit dwells within this temple and this fleshly body, only the temple, and there's only one person who dwells within is God, then who is there inside? Only one person. Only God. And that's when we begin to ask ourselves how to reclaim our glory again. And that's when enlightenment begins inching toward us. Or we are crawling toward enlightenment. Or maybe we are running. Or maybe we are flying. It depends. Some people are flying, some people are walking, some people are going by maybe a train. And that's why at the time of so-called initiation, some people have greater enlightenment, some people have lesser great enlightenment. It's because sometimes we choose to go faster, we choose to go slower. How did we choose that? We have chosen that before we were born. We have chosen that before the creation began to play our part in this physical world or in any part of the cosmos. We spread all over. We were one and then we become many as God wished to be. And we partake in the grand design of the creation to play colorful drama of life. And then now when the time comes, our role is finished, not necessary. Or we are tired. We want to retire. We want to go back home. Other people or other souls will continue our role. We take over and then we begin to go home. And that's when enlightenment occurred. It is so simple. We are God. We have chosen to be ignorant in order to play this drama of life, in order for the creation to be colorful and lively, to be different, to be in varieties, to have fun. Also in order to know what we truly are. Because in heaven there's only God, nothing else. And we don't know God because we are God. So we have to be un-God-like. So we have chosen to come here to be different from God so that we can have look and compare and know that we are God. So enlightenment is the purpose of everyone who comes into this physical universe because we want to know God. So we have chosen to play this ignorant part so that we truly can recognize God. Ourselves. Just like if in the world there's only men, then we do not know the difference between man and woman. We will not know that we are men, unless there is a woman. Unless there is the night, we do not recognize daytime. If we always live in the sunlight, we do not know what darkness is. That is the answer that I have found out myself. But to find out the real meaning of it, to realize the real meaning, each one of us have to search the way to find it for him or herself. It's not by hearing, by listening, by saying that we know we are God, even though we believe the Bible. But at the moment, we still don't know we are God. Or do we? Do you know? You know you're God? Yeah? Well, some of you do, I guess, because you are enlightened. Some of you have studied with other masters or teachers, and then, of course, you realize to some degree that you are not just a body, and you are not the body at all. Sometimes during the samadhi, you find your body don't exist. You know you exist, but not the body. You don't find any body, you don't find any trace of the physical substance that we call flesh or bones or body or hair, whatever. It's all light. He's all God. And that's when we truly realize that we are God, that only God dwells within this temple. And after all, the temple disappears too. And only this realization will make us happy and truly happy. Otherwise, no matter how much Bible we read, how much other teacher tell us that we are God, we can never believe it. We can never know that we truly are the children of God, or that the kingdom of God is within you. We read the Bible every day. We know the Bible by heart. We might be able to recite from the first page to the last sentence, but we still do not know God. So we pray every day to God, to the God that we don't even know, to answer our question, to fulfill our request, to answer our desires. And all the while, we are that. We are that to whom we pray to. And then sometimes we get angry with God because we think God don't answer us. God doesn't fulfill our request. But only when we know we are God, then we don't blame no more. We don't even need to pray anymore. Whatever we think, we will have. Whatever we want, we will get. But we will not want no more. At that time, we can say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Because we're so fulfilled. Doesn't matter if we drive a Mercedes, or we drive a bicycle, or we walk, we're so happy. We're so fulfilled. We're so rich inside that nothing can make us unhappy at all. Even if we are king or we are a beggar, we are happy, equally happy in any situation, because we truly know happiness. At that time, happiness are us. And that's what enlightenment will bring. And that's not a theory that we should listen. It's the experience, it's the knowledge, it's the realization that we must get. Otherwise, we cannot understand many things that we want to understand. Otherwise, we will continue to misunderstand each other also and suffer a lot, whether in personal relationship, or in business dealing, or in a loving connection with God. We will not have the true understanding and the love that's so great that we could forgive our enemies. Because at that time we will realize there's no enemy. We read a lot of the Bible, like you have to forgive your enemy, love thy neighbor, but we will never understand why. Until we truly realize what we are or who we are, then at that time there's no need to explain. Love just flows from us. Light just surrounded us. We become that. We become love, we become light. We become what we always want to be. We become what we always been praying to. We become God-like. That's why Master like Jesus we worship. Because he's so godlike. So why? Buddha, everybody adores him. Because he's so godlike. He's everything that we imagine a god to be. But that we can become also. Because Jesus have told us, and we have to believe him. He has no reason to tell us lie. He didn't take money from anybody. He didn't build church or houses at that time even. He walked. He has no possession. He has no reason to tell lie to any soul in this planet. He told us, whatever I can do, you can do also. You are all children of God. He said that. We have to believe in Him. And now the only one thing for us to do is to realize what He said, to prove it to ourselves. Because He already promised that. We have to find out how to realize this promise. And this is what enlightenment is all about. Very simple.
Supreme Master Qinghai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
Thank you for your loving presence for today's episode of Words of Wisdom. Please join us again on Friday for part two of Recognize Your Own God Nature. Now, please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for Models of Success coming up next after Noteworthy News. We wish you everlasting joy and fulfillment.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/WOW.